following podcast is brought to you by the Communications and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California. This is DJ Velo. Welcome to Wandering the Seven, where each episode we dive into the real history, controversies, and cultural significance surrounding the seven wonders of the world. Hi there! Welcome to our seventh episode. This is also our last one, unfortunately, but it will be on the seventh wonder of the world, being the Taj Mahal. It is a structure built in 1632. Well, it was planned to be built in 1632, and it took about 20 years, so it was actually fully constructed in about 1652, early in 1650s. But yeah, it's a place that is very renowned for how unique it is. But yeah, today we also have another special guest today. His name is Gonzalo, someone who is very, very educated in the sense that he knows a lot about architecture, and he also has studied the Taj Mahal for quite a bit. But without further ado, this is Gonzalo.
Hello, hello. Thank you for having me on. I'm glad to be here today. It's actually a very major honor to be here on your podcast. I'm really glad to be here today. Yeah, where should we begin? What do you think? Should I give a little background? What do you want to know? Anything in particular?
I think to start, we could go over maybe the architectural style of the Taj Mahal and its features. What do you believe is the significance behind it, and how? Maybe give us a good general overview of all the features that are in the Taj Mahal.
Okay, wow, that's a very broad question. Let's bring it down a little bit. Okay, let's talk about the main features that you can tell just off of being there, right? Seeing photos of it. I think one of the most major features is definitely the dome, at least the one in the middle, right? It's the thing that you most associate with the Taj Mahal, I would say. It's actually a onion dome, double shell onion dome that can be found in a lot of Persian architecture. Yeah, it's a Persian style. And I think the whole building in general has a very, very mixed style. So it has multiple in its features, not just one or another. So another influence that you can definitely see in the building is its Islamic influence. You can definitely see that within its pointed arches, the four minarets. Those are the towers on the side. Those are definitely features that are very important in Islamic architecture. And then also there's a lot of on the interior, there's a lot of influence on the Persian side. There's a lot of ornamentation that goes on, a lot of detail that is found in a lot of other Persian buildings. And then also looking at the floor plan in general, you can see it's symmetrical. It's divided into four corners, and that's also something that comes from Islamic architecture. It's a feature that signifies balance and perfection. And it's not even just something that you see on the building itself. Like, the building is definitely very much at the forefront of every single photo, everything that people talk about, but you could also see it within its whole site, right? You see four corners everywhere. You see it in the gardens, the fountains. It's everywhere because it is something that signifies the balance of life, and I think it's very powerful to see that kind of thing, right? Especially coming from a building from India, where Islamic architecture isn't native, right? It came in and had a huge impact on the culture there.
Yeah, that it's very true. I think another factor into that is, I think when Shah Jahan wanted to build the structure and make it as unique as it was, I think he commissioned people from all over Europe, but specifically from the countries that those styles came from, just to make sure that it was, yeah, it was as unique as it could be, especially since it was something that was originally created for the person he loved, his wife, Mumtaz Mahal, who had died in 1632, which is also originally the reason that he wanted to, build the whole structure. Moving on from that, in regards to the lighting that happens on the Taj Mahal, a lot of change can be seen in its color, depending on the day and the time. On the Taj Mahal, and I was wondering if you had maybe any analysis on maybe if it had any significance, or maybe if it was intentional to have it built in a way that could reflect differently in those different times of day.
Yeah, so you mentioned something that is actually key to understanding the building. The love between Shah Jahan and Mumtaz Mahal actually plays probably the most significant role in the construction of the building. I mean, it is, in a sense, a building for his lover, right? It's a tomb. Pays homage to her beauty. And it can be reflected within the lighting as well. I think lighting plays a huge role in every building, right? Everywhere you go, you're going to have different types of lighting, and they all reflect the kind of building that you want to have, or the feeling that you want to give off, right? The lighting in the Taj Mahal directly reflects the love and beauty he felt towards this woman. It's a representation of eternal love, right? The shifting colors, they represent a shifting emotion in Shah Jahan. They showed the love that he had for this woman, the lengths at which he would go for her, I would say. Day to day, the changing in colors and shifting in lighting, they represent a beauty that this woman had. And I think that's the most important part of it all, is that it's supposed to represent the beauty in Mumtaz Mahal. That's the whole point of the building, I would say. And that's also reflected within the chosen styles as well, right? The four corners, like I said, the balance, the perfection, it all plays into this beauty that, is often seen within symmetry, within perfection, within the right colors, right? It all plays into this idea that this building is a homage to the love that this man had for his wife. And it also can be seen within times when, India is experiencing very nice weather, right? Clean atmospheres. It amplifies the colors. It enhances the emotional significance. It makes it a more meaningful feature, I would say. And so in terms of lighting, some people might not see it as an important feature because it's always changing, right? But that's almost the way life is. That is exactly how life is, right? Especially in terms of love, where it's always changing. You're always feeling different emotions, right? And it all adds into the love aspect of it all, I'd say.
Yeah, I definitely can see that. I think that that's even more reinforced, especially with, like you said, with the minarets. I'm pretty sure they were built at an angle, pointing away from the, the mausoleum or tomb in the middle. For the purpose of, if there was an earthquake or anything like that, that would cause those minarets to fall over, that they'd be falling away from the tomb so as to not harm the central structure that is the tomb of Mumtaz Mahal. But yeah, it truly is a beautiful thing. But anyways, in regards to the sheer size and just structure of the whole building, not just the building, but the site in general. This obviously required a whole bunch of people. So I guess, what would be the in your opinion, what would the Taj Mahal reveal about 17th century engineering capabilities and maybe the building technologies within the Mughal Empire for the structure?
Yeah, that's a good question. It is impressive, first of all, how this building was built at a time when the technology was not as advanced, right? It's simply just a wonder. That's why it's called a wonder, right? Because it's a feat of engineering, I would say. Just off of what I can see right now, the dome itself is a feat of engineering, definitely. It shows that the empire at this time was more than capable of constructing extremely complex buildings. They had a high knowledge on, you know, techniques that you would only really see in places like Europe, right? Every part of the building is so precise. I heard that you could slide a piece of paper through any stone and it wouldn't go through because of how well cut everything is, right? So it's impressive. It's very much an impressive feat of engineering, along with the perfect symmetry. Like, that's something that is extremely difficult to do, making everything the exact size, everything perfect dimensions, especially on such a large scale. It's extremely impressive, but it came at a cost. And I think it's important to acknowledge that this building is built off slave labor and wasn't simply, you know, an easy thing for people to accomplish, right? It took a lot of hard work and effort to make this thing come to life. And it's very difficult to not look past that, because obviously, when you have, say, for instance, people working in difficult conditions, it leaves a stain on the building. But also, considering that this was an entire nation worth of people who were working on it, I think it just shows the lengths to which this person would go to. You know, Shah Jahan, he went to such massive lengths to get this thing built that he had his entire nation come through and construct it within a relatively short amount of time, especially for such a massive building. You know, 22 years is almost nothing for a building of this size. And it just reflects, again, the love that this man had for his wife. It was so important to him that he had the entire nation simply put everything down and work on this building itself. It's impressive. And the fact that this isn't something that can likely ever be constructed again is also impressive, considering that today we have more than enough technology to analyze this building and construct it one-to-one, obviously. But it would never be the same, right? Obviously, I don't think we're ever going to see one in Vegas, at least not to this scale. And it'll also be a bit of a disappointment to see it in Vegas, I would say. But yeah, I think it's definitely a feat of engineering, especially for the time, especially for the place, right? India, it definitely has beautiful architecture, but considering its influence for this building specifically was foreign almost entirely, it's impressive that they were able to construct it, especially in such a short amount of time. Yeah, it's definitely something that probably will never be done again, considering its scale and the labor that it took. It's simply impressive.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think especially in terms of its uniqueness and how it probably wouldn't be done again, I think because of how widely thought out, like that specific idea is, a lot of people actually believe that because Shah Jahan wanted to make it so unique, he actually would have basically cut out the eyeballs of all the architectures who were behind the structure and like planning out the whole building, just so that it would, he'd never have any chance of being built again. I think he even went as far as to say he cut off their hands so that they wouldn't even be able to feel around and be able to like physically feel and create a structure similar to it again either. But that's obviously not quite scientifically proven or even proven in general with physical evidence of that being the case. It is still just a myth. But yeah, it's it just shows like you said, how much of a importance he put on the structure and building it for the one he loved.
Yeah, I'd be careful for anyone out there trying to recreate something like this. You don't want his ghost coming out and attacking you or anything. So heed my warning, do not build this in Vegas.
Yes, that would not be the greatest idea. Okay, we have about enough time for one last question. So I am curious to know if you had seen the Taj Mahal in maybe any recent media or maybe in other structures that maybe could have inspired it or just seem to have a similar structure to it.
Oh, that's a good question. It's such a popular building. It's a huge tourist attraction, obviously. You know, it attracts people from everywhere around the world, right? I mean, my dream is to one day travel to India and actually see it in person, right? I haven't been able to, but that is something that I wish I could do. It's always something that, you know, people always love to visit. And it's something that, you know, people see as holy. It's like, it's a huge monument. I mean, it's a wonder of the world. So obviously it's going to attract a lot of people. Where have I seen this? Where have I seen influences or something similar? I think if I had to choose one building to kind of relate to the Taj Mahal, and it's not exactly like a perfect relation between these two, but I've definitely felt like the grandeur and like beauty of the Taj Mahal can also be seen in a building called Angkor Wat in Cambodia as well, actually. It has a lot of influence from Islamic architecture. It shares a lot of features with the Taj Mahal, especially the symmetry, the four corners, right? That plays a huge role in Angkor Wat, and it's also a very grand building. Obviously, it is a little run down. It's not at the same glory as it once was, but considering that it is a enormous structure, one of the biggest structures in the world, actually, it kind of shows off the same kind of grandeur that the Taj Mahal has. Maybe not in the same kind of prestigious light, right? The Taj Mahal is this clean, prestige, beautiful building, while Angkor Wat is definitely more of a ancient-looking building, right? It's this temple that is weathered by time, right? They both share that same quality of being monuments of grandeur, right? Showing off this almost scale that is usually never seen in buildings nowadays. Like the most grandiose buildings we have today are what, skyscrapers? Definitely not on the same scale as something like the Taj Mahal or Angkor Wat, right? These buildings, they both share that. They both have that greatness to them that, you know, we've kind of lost in today's day and age, right? I do hope that we are able to preserve both of these buildings. I know especially Taj Mahal has been struggling with its environment, right? The pollution around it has also been very difficult to manage. And I really hope in the near future, you know, we can find a solution for the Taj Mahal, right, to, you know, preserve it and to make sure that we have it for the rest of our history, right? Because it's such an important building, not just to India, but also, I feel, to the whole world, right? So, yeah.
Yeah, that definitely makes a lot of sense, especially in terms of that the pollution. I think I've seen some pictures in some forms of media where there's actually a lot of trash that is seen behind the Taj Mahal and just centered around it. So yeah, that does also seem like a problem as well that could be fixed. But yeah, that's a very, very, very good insight. That's the building of Taj Mahal. We do unfortunately not have any more time. But as one again, thank you, Gonzalo, for the taking the time to talk with us today and share your many expertise, not just on architecture, but on the different cultures and just the idea of the Taj Mahal in general. I just really, really appreciate it. I'm sure our viewers will as well. And would you have any, I guess, final thoughts or words you'd like to share?
No, I just want to say thank you again for bringing me on today. It's a huge honor, right? Especially because I guess, you know, we don't really get to talk about this building enough, I feel, right? In terms of the other seven wonders, like you said, I feel like this one's sometimes a little left out of the conversation, right? But I'm glad that we were able to have a nice conversation about it, share a lot of details on it. There's still so much to talk about. Realistically, we would at least need 2 hours to get through every detail because there is so much that this building says and does so well. But unfortunately, like you said, out of time, but hopefully some other time.
Yes, yes. Well, thank you again. But yes, that is our seventh episode. We hope you enjoyed the last one and the last wonder being the Taj Mahal. Once again, this is last one. I hope you enjoyed the podcast as a whole. And stay safe. And hope you guys enjoyed the new seven wonders of the world.